Ladies and gentlemen, God bless. This is another episode of the Learning Leverage Podcast, where I speak to millionaires all around the country, specifically in real estate for the most part. But as long as you're making some kind of passive income, they deserve a conversation and we deserve to learn from. This episode specifically, we have our first return guest, King Jonah. Jonah Wilson is a genius out of here, Texas boy. He always puts me on different things, and today specifically he's referring to tax overages from foreclosure proceeds. Did you know that you can make a lot of money from foreclosures? Not from your house being foreclosed. I mean from somebody else's. But I'm going to let him tell you more about it during the episode. Enjoy. God bless. Stay in the real estate of mind. Shop real estate of mind clothing.
Breaking up a little bit. We might have to talk slow.
Give me 1 second. I got to put my headphones on. I talk very fast, but let me know if it's better now, or should I put my headphones on?
No, I can hear you. I was just breaking up at first.
I got you. Yeah, man, I'm just trying to pick your brain based off all the leverage you got and experience. And cover what we were talking about before with the people who are going in foreclosure and how we could make some money around that and then keep it changing. Because I remember like 8, 9 years ago, I had read about that. And you know how real estate is. There's so many ways to make money. I just forgot all about it, but when I saw your post and we spoke about it a few weeks ago, definitely I feel like something that I should know about, we should know about, and both of our groups should know about, so I wanted to share this on YouTube and all that too, and most importantly for myself and you, so I can find more opportunities for us.
Gotcha. So you're referencing to the what, the tax, the foreclosure overages?
Yeah. So not pre-foreclosure, after the foreclosure, they lost the house already, but correct me if I'm wrong, most people who lost their house have some kind of balance that they can get somehow, somewhere. But that's where you come in and find the balance, and you then offer them a dollar amount of money, and you keep whatever percentage you feel is worth it for you at that point, right?
Well, it kind of. It depends. Okay, the percentage you can charge depends on what state you're located in.
Okay. And so what is this method called? What is this method called with itself?
What you're doing, you're recovering tax overages or excess proceeds. It's two different names.
Recover.
Right. It depends on what state you're in. There are statutes that are going to govern how you can operate. Like Texas might require you to be a private investigator or have to use an attorney. Florida, you don't necessarily have to. Georgia, you do. Typically, when there's a non-judicial foreclosure, you're going to need an attorney 9 times out of 10.
A non-judicial foreclosure. Gotcha.
Right. And that's when there's a trustee involved. The state of Texas is non-judicial. The word judicial means, you know, in court or out of court, basically. And that's why the trust is set up. You know, they have the right to foreclose. The trustee does, because he's in control of the trust. But you have two types of foreclosures. You'll have a tax foreclosure, and then you'll have a mortgage foreclosure. We go after the funds for both of them.
I never heard of a tax foreclosure outside of the umbrella of mortgage foreclosures within itself. What would be the difference in, if there is a difference at all?
Yeah. All right. I'd like to give, like, examples when I explain it. So let's say that someone's grandmother passed away and they didn't pay the taxes on their house. Well, the state is only going to let that slide for about 2 years before they start initiating the foreclosure. Because there are other taxes involved. You have school tax, county taxes, all kinds of taxes. There are a bunch of fees you pay when you own a house. Well, after about 2 years not receiving money, not to mention, if nobody's paying the taxes 9 times out of 10, the city has been coming out and cutting the grass to, you know, all these violations on there. So these are called liens. They put liens on the property. And that'll only last for 2 to 4 years max in most counties before they initiate a foreclosure. So now you have a foreclosure that's going to start out probably at $8,000, and the house is probably worth anywhere from 100 to 200 grand. So when that house auctions off for, let's say it auctions off for 80,000, and it only had 8,000 in liens, well, the lady died, her heirs are due that $72,000.
Huh? Her heirs incur the debt of that $72,000, right?
Yeah, they're due that funds. The state, what happens is this, the state will send out a notice after about 90 days, because it takes 90 days to notify, give a chance for all lien holders, if any, to try to come get access to those overages, those funds, so they can get paid and release the lien. Well, after about 90 days, the county will record it, the amount that's left, and send a notice to the family or the owner. And if the owner's deceased, it gets stuck at the post office. Or even if there's a foreclosure, those people are no longer in that house 90 days after the foreclosure. They're probably evicted or in Motel 6. So the letter goes to their address, it's just they're not there to receive it. So the money ends up sitting in the state. You know, like in Texas, it sits at 2 years before they collect. Some states count on people not getting the money because it's in the millions of dollars.
So that money, that excess money, using the same example, for anybody that may or may not be confused about what you stated, that excess money of that 70 grand per se, that's a debt, but somehow, some way, it becomes...
No, it's not a debt at all. No, it's an overage. Okay. Because...
It's an overage. Oh, yeah, because the deed was only 8K. And they got you.
Yeah, the county can't profit off your equity. That's your equity. They can't make a profit off your deal. All they can get is their money. And what they'll do is they'll record it, because the clerk has to send out a notice. It's the statutes that govern it. So they have to send out a notice for how much everything is recorded.
The county cannot profit off your equity. That sounds extremely sexy.
Yeah, they can't. Not at all. That would be robbery. You know how illegal that would be?
It actually is very illegal, and I can see why they depend on that kind of income and why it's not advertised a lot, because why would you want to let somebody know that they have excess money, especially if it's an offspring? How does that work with, like, wills and executrix and, like, shit like that? Does it matter if the person have a will?
Well, that's why we get paid. We have to become investigators to a certain degree. We have to research, scrape data, contact neighbors.
And like, so this is basically called recovering tax or foreclosure overages, right?
Well, if you're going to look up the statutes, you will look up excess proceeds, surplus funds, or tax overages, depending on what the state is in, because different states call it differently.
That was excess proceeds. Mm-hmm. Can I have that again? That was excess proceeds. What was
surplus funds and tax.
My phone doing that staticky thing. You said surplus.
Surplus funds. You got surplus funds, tax overages, and excess proceeds.
Man, I hope if I'm ever as blessed to where you're currently at in life, I pray my hair is as shiny and glistening as yours, man.
Oh, man, it's the light. I see you waving now.
Yeah, it kicked me out and then kicked me back in. Does that mean it's the second separate video or is it the same one?
No, it's still recording.
We already spoke of past occupations, prior. I ain't saying that. But you're going to the camera, man. I can tell you good, boy, man. I seen the picture you posted. The video with your son, I was like, nah, man, I got to call this guy about that text he mentioned, man. He's getting something I'm not getting, man. My skin is glowing, but yours is shining, man. I'm trying to get it to glow.
Okay, same to you, man. I appreciate that. But this business,
good one, brother.
You got to think, you got cities like Miami that are auctioning off like 300 homes on a weekly basis.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Miami is one of my target areas, too. That's good money.
And so, you know, for what we do on a daily basis, this is easy to us. Skip tracing is half the job we do. Well, that's what this little job is.
Man, that's where everything starts, man. Without leads, there's no leverage.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Crazy this way. So how would I go about if you was talking to one of your children that you want to teach his business to? What would be the first thing you'd say for them to find leads, and then the second and third and fourth part, and we can end it there so we have some action steps?
Well, two answers to that. The first would be it depends on the admiration it depends on the person, on how ambitious they are.
Let's say they're sleeping in their car, and their wife just left them. So extremely ambitious.
Well, Well, I can relate to that.
I can somewhat too.
Yeah, I was homeless, sleeping in the car, closing deals.
And that was spoken about on the Learning Leverage past episode that we did before. If y'all didn't see that already, please go check that out. And that's one of them stories I go to, bro, whenever I'm feeling down about a moment, which is often. I always kick back to our conversation there about that lady in the airport, that example you gave, and the type of people we are. It doesn't really matter the circumstances. Like, you had the car with the rims on it selling deals, she's feeding your children right there.
So relating to that, if their situation is not distracting their mentality,
yeah,
that's an ambitious person. So, having said that, they don't need to join a crew. They can start their own crew. But they're going to have problems because people will judge you off appearance and what they say.
Facts.
So they're going to have some hiccups, but sometimes God opened doors that other people can't, so you might be all right by yourself, you know? But on a normal side, I would recommend getting with someone who is already recognized in the field, or make it seem like you've been here before when you do start.
Got it.
All right, because this morning, looking at a list, and you know there's timelines, there's 3 months remaining for this person to claim $49,000. Whenever deals are $30,000 or above, that's when I come on the scene, because I do a thorough skip trace, and I don't stop till I find them. As opposed to just putting a bunch of information in the system and having skip trace, you know, 100 at a time. Whenever there's major money, I get involved and I upload the information and keep it updated. Well, I hit them this morning. The initial response was, you got the wrong number, but what is this about? So of when course. They said that, I already knew this was the right person.
Of course.
I explained it to him with a little detail because I didn't verify that this was the right heir to speak to. So I gave a limited amount of information just to let them know that this wasn't a prank call. Then they hung up and said, don't call back. Now, when they hung up and don't call back, that's me. That's my turn to go ahead and tag that phone. So what I did is I tagged it with a text so it can monitor the phone. When I tagged it with a text, I explained to them, I'm looking for this lady. She's 81 years old. She lives at this address, and she has exactly $49,164. The auction took place on this date, and it expires on. And once I start plugging in specific names to that text, before I can finish texting, she was calling me back.
Understood. Got it. That's gangster. I like that, man.
Before I was finished texting, she was going, and the phone got clipped, and I couldn't get the phone. I still can't get it to answer for some reason. So because it was one text and another, I was sending like 3 texts at one time, explaining the whole scenario to let them know, hey, this is real, with my website and everything. Then somebody went to my website probably not too much longer after that, but they have to believe you, because I'm calling, this is a complete stranger calling you, hey, you got $50,000, do you want it? Of course it sounds crazy. It sounded like a scam, probably to her, but when I say look at my website, go to my Facebook, look and see who I am, because I had to reach out to her brother on Facebook to get her number. That's how serious I go with this. So he's
send me your website on the messenger drone, on the text drone.
Okay.
I'm gonna check it out.
Yeah, so he knows I'm a real person. It's not nobody calling from some small room somewhere. And you see it all over my Facebook, what I do. So it's not a scam. So it looks like I told him, hey, man, you know, your mama got 50. It's his mama. And it's the sister that's watching over that's you know, being skeptical.
Yeah.
So, hey, man, your mama got 50 grand here, and she's 81. I think she might want to go to the boat this money or something.
I think she want to enjoy that, playing some slots right. Or something.
Dallas is supposed to keep it in 2 months or 3 months. April, whenever April is.
That's dope, man. Thank you so much, brother. I'm definitely going to study this more. Like I said, I remember I forgot who told me about it, man. It was one of them. You know who it was? As a matter of fact, it was one of them schools that, you know, I'm not going to remember it off top, but those schools that teach you how to do, like, certain things in real estate. Mm-hmm. I think it was, like REI Club. It's, like, an Asian guy that's on there all the time. And he was mentioning, I'm going to send you, I haven't looked at them in years, but they mentioned this exactly. And I thought it was an amazingly good idea because, all things being considered, real estate's a public record. So you can see anything, especially if you are doing what we're doing already, you're skip tracing already. So literally everything you need to find the deal, we have already. And these numbers are larger in margin, so it only makes good business sense to start doing that. I'm going to start eating these alive for the next 4 or 5 months and add it to my repertoire and see what happens from there, man.
Right, because when we went through our foreclosure, we went from, you know, a $500,000 house to Motel 6 in a matter of 30 days.
Mm-hmm.
If there was, because this was a big house, so if it went at auction, the overages had to be at least $100,000 or more. If we would have known that, oh, man.
Overages had to be how much? How much again?
At least over 100 grand. Because my dad took a $150,000 loan out to renovate a funeral home. And his wife died in the midst of that. And he went into depression. So we messed up on the loan. And the house was worth every bit of 450 grand back then. That was like 1998.
I'm counting in my head the amount of people, and I'm getting a headache. Just imagining the people that don't know of the $100,000, $200,000, or $40,000 they just got. And if I was the county or the city or the state, I wouldn't tell a motherfucker either. Of course, that's just good business sense.
We looked at a situation in Georgia where a prominent restaurant guy, I guess he was dead, and he had property that accumulated 19 grand in taxes. Well, the property happened to sit in the center of a strip mall, and a major corporation bought it for $660,000. So his family is due 640 grand. But this is one of those families that's not, you know, they don't want to be found. So,
jeez Louise, man.
Now, you can charge anywhere from 10 to 30% of the recovery.
Because
we don't charge them up front. Our attorneys charge us on the back end. So that's the advantage of working with a company, because a lot of attorneys want money up front to file a claim. Well, our attorneys do it for free on our end, and we pay them on the back end. So we don't charge nobody nothing. That's why I say there's no out-of-pocket fee to our clients, because the fee is already in the claim. Our fee is already out there.